All right, so this morning, you may have noticed, I hope you've noticed with the opening video and some of the screens and different things we've done. Today is a Sunday that we do once a year, okay? We do one time a year. It's a Sunday that we talk about missions. Now, I don't want you to be confused about something. This is not the only time we talk about being missional. It's just the one Sunday we talk about missions specifically. And so today I'm going to speak so much more briefly because you've got some people up here. You see, these are some leaders in our church that are leading the way in helping us become effective in our missions work. But what I'm hoping today does, it grabs your heart. It grabs your heart for the things that God is going to do in and through our church. And maybe it'll grab your heart that you will join in the efforts, the things that these people will communicate. But even more than that, I hope today will be something that God stirs in you, that you will be able to see how you can live life more on purpose, more missionally, more like we see Jesus Christ lived in the Bible. And so I want to give you a new picture moving forward for the missions work we're going to do here. And so today I want to give you the specific picture that I think God has given us for missions at First Wesleyan. Now, this isn't going to be a specific trip, because we will have a lot of different trips. And those will change over time as opportunities come our way. This isn't about a specific program, because programs change, and how we do ministry changes as culture changes and how God opens doors for opportunities. No, today we will show you opportunities. Today you'll hear about some cool things that are coming up, things we've already done, maybe that you can kind of run and jump on board with us. But once again, there's something greater that's going on today when I talk about missions. And hopefully you'll leave and you'll be able to answer this question. God, how do you want me to become more missional? Maybe locally, maybe nationally, maybe globally. Okay? And so for that picture, for the framework of how kind of landed in this place, we're gonna go to scripture. And hopefully that's always the foundation for our vision. So get your Bibles, you can get your devices, you can follow on the screen. We're gonna go to 1 John 3:16-18. 1 John 3:16-18. And I think you're gonna see this verse a lot. You're gonna get used to it, maybe something that you it becomes something you memorize, because I think that this is a really powerful piece of scripture and it shaped our vision. So let me read it for you. Follow along on the screen. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Okay, there are three words that I think summarize what I just read. Okay, three words that are practical, three words that are applicable, three words that you're gonna get used to, and you see these on the screen, the ones that I hope that you apply to your life every single day. We're gonna tell you about them today, and those are see and feel and act. Three simple words, see, feel, and act. But before we get to those three words, I want to jump back to the scripture because it lays a foundation for not just the what we're going to do, which is see, feel, act. It's the why do we do it? So let's jump back into scripture, okay? The first thing we see here in scripture is the foundation of what we are going to do is through love. Christ loves us. Scripture again, Christ loved us. He laid down his life for us. And so we love other people. And so I believe the heart of missions, we have to start from a place of deep, genuine, sincere, a place of love. A deep desire to show the world they're valuable. They're valuable to us. They're loved by us. They are worth us giving our lives to because Christ gave his life for us. Now, understand this. I don't know what other churches' beliefs on this or whatever, but missions for us is not an obligation. I don't want you to look at this service today. I don't want you to look at trips we do. I don't want you to look at opportunities in the community that we do as something that is derived from obligation. We don't look at this idea of missions as, okay, if we don't do this, we feel guilty. If we don't do this, that God can't bless this church. You know, this is not where we come from. A lifestyle of serving others is done because Christ served us first by completely dying to himself. And so really all we're doing is we're following his lead that he set for us. And so like I said at the beginning, this explains the why. I think we need to know the why. I always talk about going to the why, because when we understand the why, then the what becomes easier. So understanding that what we do, our why, is that we love people because Christ showed his love for us. This is a natural reaction that we should be doing. This is where this verse, this value you see on my shirt right here, you see all over the church, that where it says, we serve to show our love and to make a difference. This is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. Serving others, we want to pour value on them. And when we pour value on them, they experience love. And then hopefully when they experience our love, they understand where our love, and more importantly, who our love comes from. That's the experience we want for our world. So that's the why. But let's jump into the what, and specifically the see, feel, and act. What is it? Say it with me. See, feel, and act. Okay, I want you're gonna memorize these words. You're gonna know them. In the next months or so, you're just gonna be like, see, feel, act. This is what we do. This is how we live life. This is how we do missions. And to do that, we're gonna go to verse 17. Let's start out here, verse 17. And you'll see where we get these three words. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need. You see that word right there. Let's stop. The first step towards making a difference in the lives of others is we have to have eyes to see. One of the biggest hurdles that people don't overcome in their life is they don't cultivate eyes that see beyond their own storyline. I believe this is part of the loving like Jesus, is saying, God, will you give me, Jesus, will you give me eyes to see a need around me? See a need around me. Understand this, if we never develop eyes to see, the process of serving others can never begin. And this is why we bring, and we will be bringing opportunities for you today. Because if needs aren't seen, then the journey can't begin of God doing something in us and through us in the world. But if you see the opportunity, then we're on our way. But it can't stop there. It can't stop there because we move to the second word, which is what? Feel. You got it. Okay. So verse 17 continues. Okay. It says, but has no pity on them. How can the love of God be in that person? See, we have to see the need. It has to start there, see the need. But something in this moment, something happens to us in this moment. You know, you have these moments every single day, I assume, these moments where your eyes see a need, but then something happens in your heart, something explodes in your heart, and you begin to feel compassion. See, we see the need, but then we feel compassion. And I want to tell you, I think this is a gift from God. I think this right here shows us, gives us a kind of a peek of how we are created in the image of God. Now, when we see videos online, I know you scroll through videos online or you see needs of people, you see hurts, you experience hurts, and it moves you. This, I believe, is the evidence of seeing the DNA of God in his creation. This idea of seeing something and then it moves our heart. Now, this is the positive side, but there's a scary negative concept that comes with this passage in Scripture too, and it is actually really negative. And frankly, something that I hope maybe causes some reaction in us today is if you find yourself in life seeing people's needs, seeing people's hurts, and it doesn't move something in you to feel compassion, I want you to be very worried. What does this line say? If you have no pity, which is this feeling of compassion, this feeling of emotion, if you have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? When that day comes, if that day comes in your life, I want you to take notice. I want you to see it as a red flag. I want you to see, I mean, hear the sirens ringing in your ear, because it's not my words. It's John is trying to tell us something. He's trying to warn us of something. If you don't feel, then it's not just you not acting right. There's actually something very much going wrong in your life. And maybe that is evidence of, maybe the love of God is not a part of you as much as you say it is. John is giving a big time warning. But I believe for us, we can be people that see a need. I believe for us, we can move into a place of feeling compassion. And that leads us to the third one in verse 18. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." With actions and in truth. I know you know this is true. We've all said it in one way or another, that words are cheap. You've heard that? Words are cheap. We want to see evidence of someone's love. We want to see evidence of someone's belief, because actions speak louder than words, right? Here's what simply I want to say this morning, is I hope that we'll never be the people in your everyday life. I hope that we'll never be a church that the world can point their fingers at and say, they speak of love, but there's no evidence to back that up. May that never be said of this place. But let us not love with words, but in actions in love, or acts in love. And this is how the world will know us. This is how the world will know that we are his. By what? Our love. And in this case, in our actions in love. And this is how I want to end today as we go into this conversation, is may it always be said. Always be said for this place. May it always be said of First Wesleyan that we have the heart to live out 1 John 3:16 through 18. That we have the heart that says we will see, we will feel, we will act, so the world will know our love and we can make a difference. May that be said of us. But today I told you I was gonna talk much more briefly. And today is not going to be about me. It's going to be about a conversation of missions.
So as Pastor Scott lays all of that out, the question still, I know for so many of us, is how. I truly believe, and I've told him when I came here, this is one of the most generous churches that I've ever been at. You guys are already doing so much in the community that I can't keep up with it. And so I know that you already have a willing spirit, but still there can be the question, I want to be out there, I want to be involved, I want to be serving, but how? Where? Like, where do I start? Where do I begin? And that's what these individuals are all about. As we talk about serve local, serve national, and serve global, their desire is to remove all of the obstacles, to bring the right opportunities to you and to I, so that we can just jump in and get a feel for what a life of generosity and a life of service is really all about. And so we're going to talk about all of those today, and we're going to start with the local. We're going to talk about Serve Local and Love Week to get us going.
Yeah, so some of you may know these two. We're going to avoid Reggie for the moment right here. But these two right here, Meg Magnuson and Annette Cook. Annette's been at the church for years, and if I could tell you stories of things that Annette has done, you probably know a bunch. And Meg and I met how many years ago? A handful of years, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. When I met Meg, I knew really quickly this woman had a heart for service and serving this community. And so she joined in this effort of what you see of this Serve Touch. Exclusive. So I'm going to start with you, Meg. Okay, the first question is, why is serving our local community so important to you? And what's the overall hope of Serve Tuscaloosa as part of our missions?
Okay, well, the first with the why, I actually met my why a few weeks ago as a reminder. His name is Kevin, and he's about my age. He actually lost both of his parents, his mom more recently, and he has disabilities.
Okay.
So when you meet someone special like Kevin, you learn his name, you see his face, and you're greeted with his enormous heart and hug, and you want to help because, you know, needs are not seasonal. They're year-round. And we have an opportunity right now to be the support, provide the resources, build relationships within just miles of these church walls. The hope, I have a lot of dreams and hopes for Serve Tuscaloosa, but I would probably say simply the three would be to act, to inspire action with individuals, families, small groups, the community, mm-hmm. the church as a whole. The second would be to create change. We work with a lot of great organizations and schools. They are doing the hard work. They're on the front lines. Yeah. But they're also under-resourced. They're understaffed. They're overworked. And we have an opportunity here to ease some of those burdens. So whether it is a serve day or mentoring a child or building relationships with those that are forgotten, you know, we can create change that way. And then real quick, the last one I would say is more personal for me, I think, is to discover and develop. I think we all have God-given talents and passions.
Yeah.
And to use those to bless others.
Yeah.
So you may be skilled with children. You may be skilled using your hands to build something.
Yeah.
You may be skilled at building relationships. But I think to get ourselves to figure out what that is and run with it.
I love it. I love it. So, Annette, are there things that you've seen so far that have made a difference, you know, kind of stories or feedback of are the impact that's being made?
I do believe an impact is being made. The sincerity of the appreciation that we get at any of the things that the church is involved with is just almost overwhelming. It's like, why are y'all here? And, of course, that opens the door that we won't open.
Yeah.
But as far as a specific story maybe or some feedback, last fall at the ordination service here at the church, Dr. Joanne Lyon spoke about putting your net on the other side of the boat. And in that sermon, she mentioned that as Christians, we need to quit complaining about what's wrong in the schools and instead be involved as volunteers to try mm-hmm. to make a difference. And that just really spoke to me. And God would not let it off my heart. And so I came to James and Meg, and we discussed, is there a way we could do this with Serve Tuscaloosa and possibly do something on a long-term basis as opposed to just the once-a-month thing in addition to our once-a-month things. And so Meg and I met with the principal. And, y'all, this is how you know God is working. When I called the principal to set up the meeting, she got really emotional. And I realized she was crying on the phone. And she said that she had been praying and praying for somebody to come and do this, a group to come and do this at her school. So the church might not know, but in 2018, this year, we began volunteering at Crestmont Elementary in Northport. We have some other schools we hope to get to down the road, but this is where we started. And what is so cool is that every day of the week, somebody from this church is at that school volunteering. And it's making a huge impact. Scott can attest to this, as can James. They're both involved. Many of you are involved, and we're just trying to love on that community.
Yeah, no, it is great. And I'm there on Fridays, and so the principals, the front office people, they love our church at this point. And the front office is like, I think the last time you guys did something for the teachers, they said, they were just talking about your church, this and that, whatever. They just were da-da-da-da-da, like, we just got to come check this place out. And so they really are gravitating towards that. And so I guess either one of you can speak to this, is Serve Tuscaloosa does this thing every month. And Crestmont, something we're investing in even weekly, daily, honestly at this point. But Love Week is coming up. You see the shirt and you see them in the lobbies and different things. Talk about Love Week and why this is so important.
Well, to me, there's a line we sang in a song a while ago. And to me, it just sums it up. In addition to our value that's on the back of the shirt, that sums it up. But that line in the song said, "Tell the world of this treasure you found." And I feel like through Love Week and these other opportunities, it opens the door for us to have a conversation with people, and because they're going to ask, why are you doing this? And that opens the door for us to share God's love and what we're about.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, serving collectively, I think it unifies us in our mission to love well. And when you send over 200 people out in a short time frame, you're sending the message, we are here for you, we are behind you, we are serving. We're the hands and feet of Jesus, and I think that's just an inspiring message.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Now, I know this morning we're going to hear about what's happening, but I'm also going to try to make it clear what your next steps are if you want to get involved. And with Serve Tuscaloosa and Love Week, you've seen our table that's out there, and you know it starts next Saturday. We already have almost 200 volunteers signed up to be out in the community that week, almost all of them. That number on Saturday, and so it's overwhelming. But if you haven't signed up yet, you can go to lovetuscaloosa.com to take a look at the details, or just see the table on your way out today. But I think that we're hungry to put our faith into action. And what I've seen is that when we actually get outside the walls, we get on the ground, and we get face-to-face with people, something comes alive inside of us. We're like, this is what it's all about. But there's not just opportunities locally. What's so great is that there are also plenty of opportunities for us to get involved nationally and globally. And Reggie Epps, our missions director, has got all kinds of things going on. And so we wanted to make sure we got him up here to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah, so even before I get to my man Reggie, Annette, and I don't know where Meg went, but there's a lot of work that goes on into giving you opportunities to see where we can make impact. Can you just thank them for, you don't know how much work goes into, it's incredible. The behind the scenes would surprise you, I think, sometimes. But as James said, here's my man Reggie, and we made the announcement earlier this year that Reggie was taking over some missions, and we've got big dreams moving forward in missions and things we want to accomplish. That missions is going to be a core part of our church, and if you weren't here that Sunday, made the announcement, basically Reggie's put in this spot because Reggie worked himself into this spot, because Reggie had a heart for missions before he ever thought about bringing it to being on staff at First Wesleyan. And so I love that he is here with us. And so Reggie, okay, we're moving ahead. We're talking about nationally and globally. And why is this important to you? Tell your heart on this.
Missions has always had a spot for me. And whenever I think of it, I always think of the body of Christ. There are many parts in the body of Christ. But if you don't never know your part, then you never know your true purpose of it. And so When we serve in missions, it gives, like when Mr. John invited me out to do the first missions, and then when I got to work with Larry Miles, and I got to work with all these guys in the church, I finally realized my purpose. And I feel, and when you realize your purpose, it makes serving Christ so much more easier. You know, and so that's what we want to give in this. It's serving globally and nationally and locally. We want to give you the opportunity to find out your purpose, so that you can serve more effectively for Christ.
Yeah, so talk about just, let's go to our country first. Is we just talked locally, now we'll go to our country. Is what are some examples of some things that you're thinking about, the why behind we're opening up this opportunity to work in our country? Because we haven't had those opportunities before, right?
Right, and you know, one of the things we're looking into, and is on paper now, to go out to Texas. Miss Ellis, she used to be a member here. Bill and Arlene and Bill Ellis was, I think they founded a Hispanic church here at the First Wesleyan. And so they're part of Acts of Hope out in San Antonio. And they're still, you guys remember all the hurricanes and stuff that still come through? We had a bad year of it. And there's still people that are displaced. And I personally know how that feels, because 2011, we lost everything. You know, the tornado wiped us out. But it wasn't just local people that came by. We had people from Texas. We had people from Michigan. I had pastors come down all over just to make sure that we were okay, which that to me, that was overwhelming. That was very overwhelming. And so now we get to have that opportunity to share with people within the states the same way.
So specifically with that national trip, what are we hoping to accomplish on that? Because some people maybe say, hey, I want to be part of this. What's that trip specifically going to do?
Well, the region in Texas that was affected was the Southeast region down there. And so we're going to go in, work with Acts of Hope and the disaster relief to put the pieces of that was lost by families. These families were displaced. They do not have anything. Right now there's a team down there from Wisconsin. And after a year, they still have nothing. They're still no homes for them to walk to. pieces are shattered. And so what we're going to do, we're going to go put this puzzle back together so they can have a true picture again, so they can have hope again.
Okay, so hopefully you're seeing so far in this missions and see, feeling that you've seen the need for locally. We're seeing that we can't talk about everything that's going on, but we present these ideas to you of every month there's another organization, another thing we're trying to invest in. You see Crestmont, we see the need there in those students, and it's incredible. You see Love Week is coming up, and you still got an opportunity to sign up, all that kind of stuff locally. And typically, we have jumped right to the global. We've had trips for years and years and years, but we want to open the door to this national trip. And so this is the first one, this one to Texas is to help in that area. And that may be something that you want to look into. We're looking the 1st of June to be able to go do that. And so maybe that's something that touches your heart. So we've got local, we've got national, and we'll begin to expand other opportunities nationally, but we also going globally. Right? So tell us about the other trip that's coming up in July.
All right, this is new for us. There's a trip to Cuba this July, be July 22nd through 28th. And the hot thing about Cuba right now is that it's open. And some of the biggest things I want to help you guys out, I've asked a lot of people to do missions at times. And they were always afraid, some big guys are afraid of getting shots. Well, there's no shots you don't have to get shots to go to Cuba, okay? There's no shots. So I don't need to hit that excuse this time, no shots, okay? But it's a hotbed, you know, and I hate to say this, and I'm not the, guys, I hate being on stage, I hate talking like this, but here's the thing. You know, when there's a new restaurant that comes in town, everybody gets excited about it and they're ready to jump in it. Well, Cuba's hot right now for the gospel. They are crying for the gospel, and they want the gospel. And we have an opportunity to go down there to share the gospel, to work with other organizations, not just to make a name for the Western church, but to make a name for Christ. You know, and so that's what this is all about right now.
So give us the details on when that is, and even about price, different things like that. Give it kind of a scope of this is what the trip is going to look like, what we're going to do.
Well, what we're going to do right now is we'll work with local pastors there on some projects. We're also go into the streets with interpreters. We'll have an interpreter. We'll be able to do evangelism. The cool thing is the trip is going to be under $1,000. It's $9.99 to go. And so if you like me with money, money for me is. It's either too long, I got that long money that I can't reach, and I got short money I can't find. You know, this right here, this right here kind of puts it in perspective, because we've done trips before that's, you know, the biggest ordeal for a lot of missions, too, is the cost of it. And we're doing all we can to give you these options at a lower cost so it wouldn't be an issue and that we can get to go on these trips.
Yeah. So why the emphasis on these trips? Why are we trying to find trips nationally and even more and expand to new areas globally? Like, what's the deal with trips? And you've been on so many yourself. Some people just sitting here, we haven't had a big chunk of people go on trips before. What does that do? Like, what's the importance of a trip in someone's life? Because some people may say, you know, I want to stay locally in this, and that's fine. But what does one of these trips, what's it do to you and for you?
Well, to back trail, I don't want to say that anymore. Look, the thing is, you got to know your part in Christ, for one. You got to know your purpose in Christ, for two. The third thing is, you have to realize that your part is not greater than somebody else's part. And so what mission does, it allows us to understand our part, but when we understand our part, we serve Christ easier and we'll be more effective. The other thing is, we go for a purpose to help those people. But guys, that is like the small part. The biggest part is how you change inside. The biggest change is how we see Christ. The biggest change is how we feel Christ. The biggest change is how we react in Christ when we get to go on these missions trips. That's the biggest thing. That's why it's so important to have different opportunities to go on missions so you can understand who Christ is and what he is in your life. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about trips, and a question comes up: how much do we really accomplish while we're on a short-term trip? And really, what's accomplished is in my heart and your heart, because we believe that once you get a taste for doing this kind of work, that once you get a taste for generosity and a life of generosity and service and being face to face with people, that you won't want to stop. And you'll just want to continue that over and over and over again. And that's what that's all about. And that's where the consistent service for those organizations comes from, is people who went on a first-time trip, they caught the fever for this need or for this people group or this place, and they stayed involved and they stayed connected. And so this is a new vision. Some of you have been like, I'm a missions person, so I go on the trips. Well, I hope the vision from the message is we're all missions people, and we all need to go on these trips, and that's why we've worked really hard to make opportunities accessible to you during the summer when it's easier with you for you to go with work and kids and school and all that kind of stuff, bringing down the cost so that it's accessible to you, so that you can go more consistently and grab a hold of those opportunities. And so I want to give you the next steps. Now, we don't have introductory meetings or any of that kind of stuff set for these two trips, but you may be interested in just kind of being put on the list of info. And the way that you can do that is just take the connection card Pastor Scott was talking about, seat back in front of you, or if you're in the front, behind you, and fill out your contact information in the white space, write Texas, or Cuba, or both, we didn't figure this out. You can just drop them in the Faith Promise boxes, just drop them in the black boxes on your way out, and that'll put you on the list for information for either of those trips. You're not committing to anything. You're saying, I want to get the information as this information comes. Now, kind of like we talked about Crestmont, that consistent opportunity where we're consistently doing something over a long period of time to make a difference, we're doing something like that globally. It's one of the most exciting things that I know I've ever been a part of, and I'm just super pumped about it. And we just had a team go to Africa. I'm not even going to try Sierra Leone. I said it pretty good that time. That's good. I'm getting better at that, practicing that. We just had a team come back. Reggie was on that team that just came back, and he was sharing with us, and I'm like, we got to tell the congregation what we've already accomplished there, what we're doing, and why it's making a difference. So I want Reggie to tell us about Africa.
Yeah, so simply, Reggie, start out with just initial thoughts when you got there. Initial thoughts.
All right, let's start off this way. I'm born and raised here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So I know I just come back from Africa, but I was born here. So let's just clear that up real quick. I don't want anybody to get confused by no means, okay? I've been to like Mexico, Germany, Central and South America, and all of them's different. But when I got to Africa, it's a little bit harder culture. I had to wrap my mind around, and I know I was funny when I started, but I was thinking of Ecuador every time I was in Africa until I saw everybody looks just like me, okay? And so that kind of brought me back into the point of, man, I'm in Africa. But it's a dry place, but the people are very emotional. They're very, when I say emotional, when they want something, when they're trying to tell you something, they're excited about it. When they're trying to show you something, they're pumped about getting you down there to see it. I'm telling you, these people they're very emotional. And it was just it was overwhelming at times, because when we first got to the village, we had song and dance. They were singing and dancing forever. And we just kind of just sit back and just take it all in. Mike Chambers and I was there, and I had to tell this part here. At one point, this is off the record, one point we had to pass out candy. Well, I'm not going to say who, but one of us lost our pants while I was giving out candy. Because they wanted that real bad. They were taking, he had already warned me. He said, hey, listen, if you're going to pass out candy, take everything out of your pockets, just go in with the candy. Well, somebody lost their pants and it wasn't me, so I thought I'd tell you that.
I want to know, Mike, are you guys going to show us the dance?
No dance.
Okay, so just some context, because some people have started coming to First Wesleyan post Joanne Lyons coming to speak and talk about the African village. So let me just give context here. Is from this church, we sponsored, in that first week that we proposed the idea of this African village, is 50 kids. 50 kids are sponsored every single month. And to me, that once again speaks to what James was talking about. It's the generosity of this place. I mean, it's just another reason why I love this place. It's just we're very quick to say we want to sponsor these kids. Okay, so also, we're going to talk about Faith Promise in a little bit, we've already given money to the village. So tell me what work has already been done to help this village start the process of creating this new village, because our deal is that we want to help this village become self-sustaining over 3 years, And so, what has already happened from the money and sponsorships, things like that, that we've given to them?
Okay, what we've done, as Scott said, we've sponsored the village for 3 years, 3 year plan to make this village sustainable. Also, that means that we put in $12,000 to $15,000 per year into this village to make sure things happen. Also, we've also adopted 50, or we sponsor 50 kids in this village. So what that allowed us to do, the first day in, we were able to assess the needs of the village. The chief talked to us, told us what he needed. And then the second day, because of what we've already put in, we've had a water rig out the second day already digging water in that village to give them a clean source of drinking water while we was there.
That's good. Yeah, so it's hard from here to kind of get a picture. We've sat down and talked, but we can't have that lengthy conversation over lunch right here. But can you give just a feel for, we put the water in and the impact that makes? Like, what does it look like? And what, maybe even what hopes and dreams they have after you being there, seeing the water's the beginning. But what does the place look like and the hopes and dreams that they have to where this will end up going?
So we get there and we ask the chief, we say, "Chief, what do you want? What would you like to have?" And his first things out is water. We need water. Water is life. That was his words. Water is life. And so the things that we take for granted, the tap water that we spend $20 on every month, or $30, or we buy the bottle of water from the gas station, that is something that they do not have. We walked a quarter of a mile through the woods, and I was in this little narrow path, and it's windy down, to find a foot wide, maybe 3 foot long water source that they pulled, that a village of 250 plus people, less than 20 homes or huts, it wasn't homes, it was huts, live in. And that's where they get the drinking water from. And so this, it puts things in perspective how, I hate to say spoiled, but we are, you know. I hate to say that sometimes we're ungrateful, and we are, because these small things that we look at are massive over there. And what it does for that village, just by having clean drinking water, for one, we do what Christ did for us. We're bringing life. The chief said now, since they get clean drinking water, the kids can eat more than once a day. They can eat more than once a day. You imagine eating one meal a day? One meal a day. The other thing is, you change the economy of the village. You know, you help them to grow produce, to harvest, you know. And here's one of the massive things that I love, is that I know I have people here on trafficking. Guys, just having a source of water cuts down on the trafficking, on childs being taken away, on women being taken away. Just one source of water in that village. And that's what we're able to do. We're able to cut this stuff in half. We're increasing life. We're increasing life. And we're cutting down on trafficking at the same time. But the biggest thing, the one that really got me when I was sitting down on the way back from the plane ride, which was a very long plane ride, was you watched the hope that was started in that village. The hope of these people. It's like I thought of hope, faith, and love. Hope, faith, and love. And you watch these people. When we pull up and from the singing from the start, hope was already there. And they had the faith that this water is going to come in, because now they know that they can actually have clean drinking water. They can have food to feed their kids. And that they can also grow food to sustain themselves even after we leave from there, you know. And you watch they were ecstatic about this because it was something that, again, we just take for granted, just a little bit of water, you know. And these people, they're just they're head over heels over it.
Yeah. When Reggie was having lunch with us when he came back and telling us about that, it hadn't clicked for me that, you know, we talk about sex trafficking and all of that, and I hadn't made the connection that it is oftentimes it's to the well and it's to the water and back, their water source and back, where kids are being taken and women are being taken and enslaved and being a part of that. What I love about the Village Project so much is that if you look at a cycle of poverty that just continues to repeat itself over and over and over, generation to generation, we're addressing each and every one of the issues in that cycle in that village. Water is huge. Health that comes out of that is huge. Education is a part of that, and that is huge. All of that, sustainable produce for food, all of those things we're addressing in that. And through your child sponsorships, you're providing education for a child who may not have been able to go and get an education. You're providing a Christian education for a child. I know the child that I sponsor, her family's Muslim. But because of our sponsorship, she gets to go to a Christian school. And more than that, she gets to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's going to be powerful in her life. And that's going to make a difference. We're going to transition here in just a minute. But I'm kind of involved in all of this. And there are times that I just get so filled. And I want to be able to bring all of you into that feeling. You know in Scripture that Jesus says very specifically, there are specific people that we're supposed to minister to. There are specific needs that we're supposed to meet in our society. And there are a couple of weeks where we had a group in the prisons. And you know Jesus says we're supposed to be there. We had a group helping with temporary emergency services, providing food for people in crisis, and you know that we're supposed to be there. We have in place child sponsorships and this happening in Africa and taking care of people the way Jesus told us to take care of people. All of this happening at the same time, and I just get so excited. I'm like, this is what it's supposed to be about. This is where our faith is supposed to take us eventually. This is how we're supposed to go out into the world. And I get so pumped and excited about it. So some of the way that this happens is through your service. And so you've signed up for Love Week, and you've shown interest in the trips, and I know you're going to go eventually. But some of this happens via resource. And we are going to talk about that a little bit. And I want to just kind of reframe that just a bit in terms of what faith promise is, and faith promise is the vehicle by which we give to these types of things. For me, as I've been involved in these kinds of things, I've seen that a dollar for us is not really a big deal, but a dollar somewhere else can make all the difference in the world. We go out and we eat and it's $10. Well, $10 can feed a child for an entire week overseas. And so I realize that I am blessed. And so when it comes to faith promise, I have to ask myself the questions as a Christian who has been blessed by God. How much of my dollars that can make such a huge impact somewhere else can I give so that that can happen? And that's how I process it. If a dollar can bring somebody to Christ, then I need to let that dollar go. If a dollar can feed a child for a day, then I need to let that dollar go. And so some of this is resource. When you can't be in Africa, your dollar can be. And when you can't be in Guatemala, your dollar can be. You can't be in Ecuador, your dollar can be. And I'm not saying that it's all about money, But this is a way that you can be in a place when you can't be in a place making a difference. And so we're going to talk about faith promise.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about faith promise, but Reggie, we're just at the beginning of national and global missions. We've been plugging along in the Serve Tuscaloosa thing for a year, and we're just starting to get into it. And it's only up from here, man. We're going to do a bunch, and I'm just thankful for your leadership, and I look forward to people seeing where we're going to go with that vision. So appreciate you. And will you thank Reggie for all that he... So James mentioned faith promise. Some of you may not know what this concept is at all. If you've been at First Wesleyan for more than a year, you probably do. But once again, we have new people every single week here, and we're thankful for that. Faith promise is this, it's a decision that we make that say, in faith, God, I'm gonna pledge, or I'm going to commit to giving to missions because I believe that you're going to be faithful in providing this in one way or another in my life. And you can determine how that really plays out as God speaks to you. But this is different than, like, say, tithes and offerings. We know that tithes, and if you've been in church for any time, you know that Scripture talks about bringing a tenth to the church, that this is an obedience factor. This is an obedience factor of just, this is what we do. We tithe, and then it's the church's responsibility to be a steward of that and to do as much as we can to proclaim the gospel and to make a difference in people's lives. But faith promise and our missions giving is that above and beyond, that giving of, God, you want me to do something special, and I'm going to respond in obedience, that where tithe is a given obedience from Scripture, I'm going to respond in a unique obedience because you're speaking in my heart that I want to give to this missions. And so we do this every year, is that faith promise is not something you need to give at one time, but you can. Faith promise can be something you give over a 12-month period. That you say, I'm going to trust that God is blessing me in my life, and I want to give some of that blessing to missions. And so we're going to have boxes at any exits, and in your bulletin today is a faith promise card. And so you don't need to write any money today. What you're going to do is just say, God, is there something you want me to do in giving above and beyond my tithes and this offering I'm bringing in faith promise? And frankly, I'm not even going to attempt to determine what that is. I'm not going to. You see what we're doing serving locally. You see what we're doing serving nationally. You see some of the things globally. And behind me, you'll see even some of the other missionaries, and World Hope is where the village comes out of. And so you see these people that we're sponsoring and helping. This is where your faith promise money is going. And so I just lay it before you and say, whatever God speaks to you over these next few weeks, I just pray, God, is there something you want me to do this year? Is there some way you want me to give and resource so that we can do more and more around this country and in this world? And if that's the case, then you leave that in the boxes. They'll be here for the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. And then I trust that God is going to play that out in your life this year. But we're going to close in worship, and we have a pretty incredible video for you to watch. But I want to pray as we go into that, because this time I want to be shaped as, God, speak to me. How do you want me to serve? Is it something in this city I need to give myself away to? That the Bible says that, Christ, you came to serve, not to be served. And I want to give myself away to this community. Is there something inside you that's stirring and saying, I need to do something in this country? I need to go to that Texas trip. I need to look for ways that I can give back to this country that I love and people that are in need. Then great. Is there part of you that says globally, I need to go to that Cuba trip? I need to be aware of the trips that are going to be coming up, and I need to be active beyond in trips and in giving that I've never had before. But I'm trusting that you heard the message today from our people, from our leaders, and from that after seeing those needs, that you're feeling something, and that God is going to call you to act. And that's going to be different for everybody. But I believe that when we see and feel and act, God uses us in big ways. Will you join me in prayer, and then we're going to go into this final worship song? God, I pray that the things that were spoken today would touch people's hearts, that they can see their church is active in changing lives, that their church is being used by you to make an impact beyond these walls. And God, we believe that's the calling of the church. We come and gather here in celebration, God, but we leave and we go and do your work. And I pray, God, that we would be known for seeing and feeling and acting, and that we have the heart of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, now speak to us as your people. May we respond in obedience. In your name we pray. Amen.